Hello again. Welcome back to The Inside Pass. My name is Lloyd Bernard. Joining me in the Cape Town studios once again, Herman Mostert. Morning, Herman.
Good morning, Lloyd.
How are you doing?
Great, thank you.
Good, good. We are building up. We're continuing build up to this weekend. Just can't get any bigger, really, this weekend. Rugby World Cup quarterfinal action. South Africa, the champions. France, the hosts. We were looking online a little bit earlier. And the bookies, I have to say, have France as the slightest of favourites. It is so, so close. But, you know, I think it was 4-5 France, 10-11 South Africa, something like that. And, you know, probably just that home crowd and everything giving France the edge. Also, the fact that they're a bloody good rugby team. Would you agree with that, Herman, going into it? I mean, given all of those factors, France maybe just ever so slightly favourites.
I can understand why they're the favourites at the bookies, simply because they're playing at home. And it looks like their captain, Antoine Dupont, is going to be ready. Like me and Kaniso discussed yesterday, he makes a massive difference to that French team.
They're going to wrap him in, you know, I mean, however he comes out looking, it's going to be a first in rugby, surely. I mean, I've got images in my head of him looking like a mummy with his whole head just wrapped in bandages with little slits so that he can see and breathe out of. But geez, they're going to have to come up with something quite creative to get him on the field.
Yeah, there's already talks of him wearing a scrum cap for the match, but then the French team doctor has said they need to factor in whether he's going to be able to hear properly, because he's a very obviously a very important communicator for the French team. He's the captain and he's the playmaker. So if he can't hear the calls properly or can't convey the messages properly, then he can't wear the scrum cap. So, yeah, I don't think he's 100% fit, to be honest.
No.
But he's going to play irrespective. Like we said yesterday, in 95, the Springboks played with, André Joubert played with a broken hand.
Yeah.
And US played with a cracked rib. So, yeah, he's gonna be good to go.
Shows how valuable he is to their cause. You know, if there's just certain players, I suppose, where you'll do anything you can. I mean, if this was a normal, even a Six Nations week, you know, there's no ways you would think that he would play. I mean, even you would argue potentially a Six Nations decider. You know, hard to see him.
Even if it was an easier quarterfinal, if they played Fiji or someone, they probably wouldn't have picked him.
Exactly,
But they're obviously not sure if they're going to beat South Africa. So
key to their cause, and they do obviously have a lot of depth. I still think they would be incredibly dangerous without him. But yeah, we are playing selected today. Herman and I are going to transform into Rassie and Jacques and pick our Springbok team for the weekend. If one of us was Rassie and one of us was Jacques, who would be who? Yeah, I think you would be the Jacques. For those of you who don't know, he wears glasses. He's also a lot more responsible than I am. I would consider myself a bit more emotional and irresponsible than you, Mostert. So I'm probably Rassie and you're probably Jacques. Would you agree?
Yeah, I've probably got a similar accent to Jacques as well. So
the similarities are there. Let's go that way. Okay, let's get into it. So we'll go 15-1, and we were doing this just chatting a little bit before. And we do have a couple of differences in our starting teams, which is interesting and going to make for some strong talking points. But we do agree, I think, at number 15. You know, we'll start at 15. Damian Willemse, he's done his bits. He's been in good form for a long time now. Really has solidified his position at the back there in the number 15 jersey, and has, you know, on form and ability has kind of, you know, pushed Willie LaRue to the sidelines, I think. You know, Damian Willemse at 15.
Yeah, he deserves to be there. He's just, for me, got a little bit more firepower than Willie has. And he's also not as error prone as Willie is. Willie tends to make some silly mistakes. Although he does an awful lot of good things and he's very experienced. You know, he's a great distributor. Like the Bok coaches always talk about his try assists and how good he is in that.
Yeah.
But I just think Damian has a little bit of that X factor. And like I said, Willie can drop an up and under. He can make a horrible kick. He always brings one of those two little silly errors in. And you can't afford that on Sunday against France.
When we had Dobbo in the studio here on the podcast a week or so ago, and we were talking about Damian, one of the things that shines out for me about him is his maturity, you know, how much he's developed in that aspect. You know, if you consider him at the beginning of his game and that Stormers career, I think he was playing fly half in that first year as a stand-in fly half, and there was a lot of goose-stepping and, you know, trying different things, where he still has that in his game now. He still has that ability to break a game open with an offload or a pass or a line break. But he just comes across as a lot calmer now for me, far more intelligent in the way he's approaching his game. And crucially, his kicking out of hand has become really good. You know, he's very accurate. He's got a lot of distance. His bombs, his touch finders, his grabbers, his tactical kicking, I think, has come a long way. And that's also, I think, what makes him, you know, such a valuable 15 at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. His tactical kicking is really good, and he's also very good under the high ball. Mm. But he's still got that jinx on him, you know, where he can step a player very, very easily. But that's not a bad thing. You know, he always keeps the defenders on their toes, and there's always that threat that he can break the line,
yeah,
which is good. If he was just a better goal kicker, he would have been perfect.
Yeah.
You know, for probably one of the best, better, probably top five players in the world. He's got that potential.
Mm. Dobbo's one, call it a criticism, but frustration with him when he said that he's the only guy who knows he can beat four players and make 2 meters.
Yeah.
So he dances around the players a lot, but he'd like him to be a bit more direct in his running. I think we have seen that from him at the tournament, though. Since then, maybe he was listening in on Dobbo's suggestions there. Damian Willems is our fullback. Both agree there. Let's go to number 14, and I think we have a difference of opinion here. I'm going Kanan Moody simply because, you know, of what he can offer at 13 as well. I think, you know, with when we get into the benches and the bomb squads and look at it a bit later, we'll see why. But you're backing Kirtley Arnser here.
Yes, he obviously played against Ireland. I just think he's had a good year. He's had a good...
Yeah,
sees last year in a bit, and he deserves his place there, alongside Cheslin on the other wing. And I would actually, as we would go into now, I would move Kanan to 13.
Yeah,
alongside Damien de Allende, because I do feel that the Springboks need, in this game, they need to score not only one or two tries, they need to score probably three, maybe four tries to win this game. Because if it's a 50-50 close encounter, which it probably will be, it's going to be very tough. Those 50-50 calls are not going to go the Springboks' way. It's just that crowd, the home ground advantage is going to play a part. We've talked about this, and I just feel that if it's a scenario where South Africa, they only lead by 1 or 2 points, it's not going to be enough. You're going to have to score a few tries. And we've been guilty in this World Cup. That's why we lost to Ireland, because we didn't capitalize. We were in their 22 on several occasions where we didn't round off. And you need these game breakers. And then Kanan at 13 for me would do that.
So it's interesting. You know, you're not choosing between Kirtley and Kanan as no. I am for that one spot. You're actually including both of them.
Yeah.
On the wing. Let's talk about them as wings. You know, and we obviously 14 and 11 here. You know, if it was Kanan that played, Kanan probably goes to 11 and Colby is 14. But I mean, regardless, Moody versus Arnser for a spot on the wing. They're very different looking players, you know, in terms of stature and kind of size and height and that thing. But actually, in terms of their attributes, there are a lot of similarities. You know, Kirtley still very good under the high ball, as is Kanan Moody. Both, you know, very accomplished defensively. Kirtley, for a small guy, tackles very, very well. Kanan, solid defensively as well.
Yeah.
Both with very good pace. And both can you know, slice open a defense, and both seem to have lethal finishing. So attribute-wise, even though they look different size-wise, attribute-wise, I would argue that they're actually quite similar.
It's a good argument, actually. Obviously, Kanan is a lot taller than Kirtley, but Kirtley packs a punch for his size, and he's very good under the high ball as well. Probably a bit better than Kanan would be. That is, for me, probably maybe... It would be better to have Kanan in midfield rather than on the wing. Tactical kicking wise, Kirtley is a lot better than Kanan. I just think Kanan, his future is more at centre than at wing for me. Although he's obviously got a lot of pace, but it's right. You know, both are lethal finishers. Obviously, quick players, both of them. Mm. And I just think that Kirtley is a little bit more versatile, maybe a bit more skillful, if that's the right word, because he can kick a bit better, and his vision of the game from that area for me is he's also more experienced than Kane at the moment. So I would just edge him there.
He also hasn't put a foot wrong in Bok colours, you know, pretty much the whole way through now. He's been superb. And that try-scoring record, which I don't have on hand, but it's obviously, you know, incredibly impressive right now. So it would be hard to leave him out at this stage of the tournament when he's got you kind of this far in some pretty big games as well. Like I say, I think my thinking in Moody at 14 ahead of him is just the versatility and what Kane can do elsewhere on the field. He's already played 13 at this tournament. And given the bench split that we'll be talking about a bit later on and how we would like to balance the teams, I think there's, given how close they are in terms of what they offer skill-wise and attribute-wise, I think the fact that Kane can operate elsewhere on the pitch gives him the slight edge for me. So I've got Kane Moody 14, you have Kirtley Arendse 14, and then we're different at 13 as well, because I continue with Jesse Creel. You've already said that you move Kane Moody over to 13. You're looking, Herman, for more of an attacking edge from the box. They're going to have to score a few tries. You say Kane Moody will help with that. I just think in a game this tight, you know, in terms of understanding and fitting into defensive systems and backing, you know, a midfield pairing and a kind of, you know, backline that has got them this far in the tournament, I don't think Jesse Creel's really done much wrong in the competition so far. I think he's played with huge intensity. He's been very busy with the ball in his hand on attack, making a couple of breaks. He's strong. His defense has been very good. And I just think it's working. You know, obviously you want to Lucanio Am fully fit playing there, but you know, Lucanio Am's not fully fit and he's just arrived with the camp. And I just think in a game this big, an experienced campaigner like Jesse Creel, who's really, I think, playing some of the best rugby we've seen him play in a Bok jersey for a long time, makes a lot of sense. I mean, it would be tough on Jesse if you were to go into a game like this and leave him out.
Well, it's a good argument that you make. He hasn't done anything wrong, and he's obviously a very good defender. And now that you've got me thinking again, you know, it's yeah, the French are dangerous with ball in hand, especially if the pont is there running the show.
Yeah,
and to have a guy like Jesse there would be nice to, you know, to sort of organize the back line on defense, which he does really well. So there's a good argument for that. But yeah, like, we're having a good discussion on this, I think.
You've already told Kane he's playing. You can't change your mind now. So he's in. 12, no arguments here. Damien Dierlendi is our number 12. Jeez, Andre Esterhazen, such a good rugby player. And like Nick Mallett has argued more than once, would probably walk into the number 12 jersey in pretty much every other team in international rugby, given his skill sets. But it doesn't work in the box because of Damien Dierlendi. He is the guy. He has been backed for the last 6 years, for the whole of the Jacques and Rassie era. And very strange player, I feel, in that he gets a lot of heat, you know, gets a lot of criticism sometimes. But when you really, you know, strip his game away and look at what he does, and just that muscle to always give you go forward ball, even if he's not, you know, creating line breaks necessarily, it's always go forward ball, and he makes the breakdown so much easier and gives you that momentum. And defensively has shaped up, you know. I mean, I remember when I back in the early days of my Cape Town life, they called him the human turnstile, you know, because he was getting found wanting on defense so much. But he's really become a very dependable tackler as well. And just an all-round, you know, complete number 12. I mean, must be one of the first names on the team sheet now for Jacques and Rassie.
Yeah, and he's very experienced. You know, I think they're just going to go with that tried and tested. You know, he's obviously won the World Cup 4 years ago. I do think Andre Esterhazen has really played well in the last year. I think since he moved to England, he's improved his game remarkably. He's added a few strings to his bow. I almost feel that Andre could almost play outside center, because he's got a little bit of a better attacking flair about him now than Damien Dierlendi does. Yeah, he seems to be offloading a bit more, which earlier in his career, when he was playing at the Sharks, he was just bashing it up. He would never pass the ball.
Yeah.
And he's evolved in that sense. But for the way the box on our operating, Damien at 12, he's been the guy there. He has the experience, you know. He fits into the way that they do things there. And I just would edge him a little bit ahead of Andre. I think in the next 4 years, I think Andre Esterhazen is going to play a lot of tests for the box.
How old is Andre Esterhazen?
He's still late, mid late 20s. Yeah. So he's a bit younger than Damien, and he's gonna get his time, sure.
Yeah. Geez. I mean, if he was born anywhere else, he'd surely be playing, for his country right now. So unlucky to him. But such is the depth that the Bucks have at the moment. Cheslin Kolbe will be our number 11 or number 14, depending on who the other wing is. But we both agree that one of the wings has to be Cheslin Kolbe, the hero of 2019. Just big moments, big games, the ability to create something out of nothing, just solid defensively. Chiefs, one of the best tacklers in that Bok team for his size, but just so dependable in the air defensively, and on attack. You give him a sniff and you're in. Like you say, you're anticipating that Bok are going to have to score a couple of tries in this game. You need guys like Kolbe on the field to finish off those chances.
Yeah, look, he picks himself basically on what he's done in the past, and obviously a great finisher. And he's also versatile. He can slot. It doesn't matter for him if he plays left wing or right wing. So luckily they have that luxury that they can just move him to left wing. Although he was on the right wing in the 2019 World Cup, that try that famous try that he scored where he went around Owen Farrell, that was on the right wing. But it doesn't really seem to have a difference for him. He seems to be a bit, but he looks like he could be a bit ambidextrous. He can kick off both feet as well, so that's probably plays a role in why they can pick him on the left and the right.
Right, let's get into the big one, the talking point of the week, selection wise. Andre Pollard or Manny Lebok to start in the number 10 jersey. You've gone Manny.
Yeah, I've just gone, I guess, if you looked at what they've done and how they've played the whole year, I just feel that, and if listening to all the press conferences of Rassie and Jacques this year and how they've backed Marnie, and the way the Bok aren't playing the way they played in 2019, they've added a few strings to their bow, and they're attacking a little bit more, and like I've said, we're going to have to score tries. It's not a game that I just can't see us winning the game by kicking four or five penalties and then winning 15-12 or 15-13, whatever. We're going to have to score a few tries. And Marnie gives you more of that option for me. So therefore, I've just slightly picked him. I wouldn't be surprised if they pick Pollard, because there are a lot of attacking and skillful players out wide that would be out wide outside of Pollard. So you could have an argument that you could pick Pollard. I've just gone for Marnie with the consistency, but it's important that he kicks his goals. He's gonna have to kick well, and he for me is a player who sometimes tends to, if he misses a kick, he can quickly miss two or three after that as well. And as soon as that happens, they're gonna have to bring Pollard on. Because this is not a game where you can just keep trying and then hope you get another chance. Just, there's not going to be another chance. So I would go for Marnie and then see how hopefully things pan out well. And you can, and he's a guy that is also a confidence player. Like Dobbo said a few weeks back when he was here in the studio, like if you back Marnie and you give him the assurance that you back him 100%, then he plays well, actually better than he does, because there's no doubt in his mind. So I would play. I would pick him at 10, and then. But if it goes pear shaped from the tee, then he's got to go off. And even if it is after 30 minutes or 25 minutes, he's going to have to go off. And then Pollard needs to come on.
Given that he's gotten the Bok this far, given that he's played largely well in a Bok jersey, I think it's the right call to play Lebok in this game. I also think it's the brave call to play Lebok in this game. It's the safe bet for me to play Andre Pollard. And my worry is obviously the kicking off the tee. And off of that, my worry is falling behind in the game and having to play catch-up rugby. I worry about being 10 points down, and then...
Then you can bring Marnie on.
And then you can bring Marnie on. Sure. But hopefully, with Pollard kicking off the tee, you don't go 10 points down. Hopefully, there's those penalties going over where even if you're being outplayed in certain departments, you're still kind of staying within touching distance. My worry is that when you are getting slightly outplayed in those moments, and then you get your rare opportunities to, you know, put something on the scoreboard and then you don't take it. And you miss a couple of those. We saw it in the Ireland game, you know. How many points was that off the tee in the end? 11.
11,
I think it was. Yeah. And you can't afford that in a game like this. But I do think Livock is the right call. It's right to back him in a moment like this. It would be harsh to leave him out in a game like this. But I'm not brave enough to make that call. You know, I would feel more comfortable with kind of someone kicking off the tee who is dependable. And it's not to say that Marnie can't do it. We've seen Marnie kick well, you know.
He was 3 from 3 in the last game against Tonga. So.
Yeah, and I mean, in both of those successful Stormers URC seasons, he was brilliant throughout. So it's not like he can't do it.
You know, it was 5 from 5 against New Zealand at Twickenham also. Exactly. So let's hope it's one of those days.
But I just think if, you know, we don't know if Pollard can go 80 minutes either, you know, maybe 50, 60 minutes, see where the game is. And then I would like the idea of Marnie Lebok finishing off a game, especially if you were in a situation where you needed to find a try out of somewhere. But that will be, you know, a huge talking point from the selection when the box do name their team, obviously. But yeah, I'm leaning more towards Pollard. You, rightly so, I think, leaning more towards Marnie Lebok. Faf de Klerk is our number 9. Also, part of the reason that I like the Pollard selection, you know, going back to that 2019 halfback pairing between the two of them. And yeah, I don't think there's any arguing with Faf at 9 at the moment.
No, not at all. I mean, I can't see them going any other way. For me personally, I think Kobus Reinach is a player with more ability than Faf. He's got more X factor to his game, but he should have, in this whole cycle, the last 4 years, even before that, Reinach should have played an awful lot more for the box. And they can't just now go and say, listen, let's pick Reinach ahead of Faf. So you have to go with Faf. He's the guy that's been there. He's got the experience. I always feel that Reinach is a player that's been treated a bit harshly.
Yeah.
He's a really talented player and he's got a lot of game about him. But yeah, this is a World Cup quarterfinal. You can't now go and change something like that. You know, Faf has been consistent and he's going to play. He's going to start. He was put up in a presser this week as well. So that's clear indication that he's playing.
Yeah. That's our backline sorted. Let's move on to the forwards. And number 8 is also one that will divide opinion, I feel, across the country. Do you play Big Dwayne Vermeulen in a knockout game? It's a huge game. Doesn't get any bigger. You want your big players, your veterans, your leaders, your guys who have been there and done it before standing up in games like this. But Jasper Visser, all tournaments been very good. You know, I would argue that going into the tournament, there could have been an argument for Dwayne to play ahead of him. But then when Visa was backed for the Scotland game and beyond, he's actually been very good and has now played himself into that starting lineup. I'd go Jasper Visa.
Yeah, me too, because I was surprised initially that they didn't pick Dwayne ahead of him. And then they obviously went with Jasper and he's just done really well. Yeah, he does everything that Dwayne can do. He's just a younger and probably a fitter version at the moment.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I think he deserves to start at number 8. He's proved himself so far.
7 and 6 pick themselves. I think any Bok fan would agree. Peter Steff de Toey is your 7. Sia Khaleesi is your 6. And captain, just both also in pretty good shape at the moment. Very good form. And, you know, Sia, if you remember going into this tournament, all the concerns over his fitness and what his form would look like. He's been brilliant every time he's been on the field. And just continues to be just the leader of Bok rugby in every way. Leads by example through performance, commands the respect of his players and the South Africans looking on. I think South Africa, very Rassi and Jacques will be very grateful that he has got through the tournament so far. So no arguments there. At lock, Herman, Franco Mostert 5.
Yes, I would go him alongside Yeben, just for horses for courses selection, trying to be consistent. They haven't done anything wrong, and yeah, two very strong players obviously, and it's going to be, you know, the box are going to have to assert their physicality over the French, and those two are certainly first in line to stand up to it.
Yeah, big match Eben for sure. This is one of those games, you know, where you would expect him to stand up and, you know, provide that physicality and really get in their faces and, you know, not take a step backwards. That's, I guess, what you're looking for. Franco Mostert's improved a lot, right? There are a few question marks over his form. He was also like caught in between that, you know, is he a seven in terms of the South African context? You know, is he going to play seven? Is he going to play five? There's also like Archie Sneyman, who's an option there as well. But Franco Mostert's also, you know, kind of put strung together some solid performances and made that position his own.
Yeah, there were doubts that he was even going to make the World Cup squad beforehand.
Yeah.
And he's another guy like Jasper who I also had doubts over whether he would start, and then they gave him the chance and he's done well, so he deserves it. And for me, it's not about you can't now go and change just for the sake of it now. I mean, he hasn't done anything wrong and he has been backed. So I would pick him, but then obviously Archie Sneyman is a massive impact player to have on the bench. I mean, he's one of the perfect bomb squad members to bring on. He's a skillful lock. So it's all, almost like you've said with the backs, you need someone that can change a game. If there's ever a forward that can change a game with his skills and his offload abilities, then a guy like Archie is one that you can bring on. So I would start with Franco and Eben and then have that option on the bench.
Mm. I feel like in the front rows, it's probably the one, you know, area of selection where it's perhaps, you know, less critical to get it right, especially the way the box have been operating over the years, you know, in the sense of it being one front row replaces another, and whether it's, you know, Kitchoff starting or Oxenchair starting, they're going to play essentially a half a game of rugby each. But for the sake of this exercise, you know, let's start well. Let's get on the front foot, make sure the box dominate that early set piece exchange. So Frans Malherbe 3, Bongi Mbonambi 2, Stephen Kitchoff 1.
Yes, that would be my pick as well. That's, I mean, World Cup winners there in that front row. So,
yeah,
he would go that. And then you've got obviously some nice options on the bench to bring on. I don't think there's any doubt that that's going to be the starting front row. Let's hope Bongi can play as long as possible.
Yeah.
Because obviously Dion Free's not, the scrum isn't that strong when Dion Free is going to come on.
Mm.
So, luckily Bongi hasn't been injured. You know, obviously it was a big blow losing Malcolm Marks earlier in the tournament. But yeah, like those three would be my starting front row.
Mm. It is. I mean, we're used to seeing the box, you know, the whole front row changes at the same time. You know, three guys come on for three. It'll be Bongi, Bongi, Trevor, and Ox coming on for Malcolm, Franz, and Stephen Kitsoff. That's not going to happen this time. Like you say, so. I think it's really you want Bongi to get through as much of this game as possible. 60, 70 minutes, geez, stay out there as long as you can. You'd almost argue play as much of this game as you can, and then take your, if we need to only play you 45 in the semi-final, we'd rather do that because the semi-final is going to obviously be a little bit easier than the quarter-final. But yeah, I agree with that. You know, Dion Ferree is not going to come on with Trevor and Ox or whoever the reserve props are. It's not going to be an entire front row replacement at the same time. I think you leave Dion Ferree on that bench for as long as possible. And bring him on when Bongi really, really, really has emptied the tank. We've both gone 6-2, which is probably the safe play for what Rashi and Jacques will do when they announce this team. I mean, don't see them going 7-1 again at the competition.
It'll just be too risky.
Yeah, and 5-3, I think, is an option, especially if you're trying to get Pollard and Lubbock into the same 23. I still think 5-3 is a real option. The Box have, you know, I feel enough firepower in their forwards, in their replacement forwards, to get by with five guys on the bench and then, you know, give themselves more options in the back line. But for the sake of this exercise, we've both settled on 6-2 bench splits. We've already gone through the front rows. Archie Sneyman, surely one of the guys that must be on the bench.
Yeah, he's for me the most important player on that bench almost, because every time he's come on, he's made an impact. He's, like I said, very skillful. He's the tallest member of that team, so he can pinch a line out, you know, that could also swing the game right at the end. You know, if the French have a line out and he comes on and steals it, it could be vital. It's also remarkable how, you must remember how he's been injured for like a very long time. Since between 2019 World Cup and this World Cup, he hasn't played an awful lot of rugby. It was only recent in the last few months at the tail end of the URC season where he actually came back fully fit again, and he just slotted in seamlessly. So he's, for me, almost the most important member of that forward pack to come on later in the game. So I definitely have him written down probably first alongside that replacement front row.
Mm.
So then you've got four spots sewn up already.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you need two more. And it's, yeah, I would go for, obviously the question is if you, can you accommodate Dwayne Vermeulen on the bench as well? So it's probably between him and John Klein. So it's a tough thing, you know.
I would two spots left for four players in Jean Klein, Dwayne Vermeulen,
yeah,
Quacha Smith, and Marco van Staden.
Yeah.
I would say you have to get those four into two.
Yeah, I would definitely pick Quacha. He's also done really well for me.
I've got Quacha as well. Yeah. I just think the versatility, you know, can play eight, can play seven, can play six, can play, you know, they keep saying he could play wing if you need him to play wing. But just the versatility you get from that player, for me, that Quacha selection means that Dwayne isn't there. So I go Quacha Smith ahead of Dwayne, and then I've got Jean Klein as the other player. So bulking up the physicality there with Ergius Neyman and Jean Klein both picked Quacha Smith as the loose forward cover on the bench. So your hooker covers Dion Ferree. Your props are Oxen Trevor. Mm. You've got Ergia and Jean Klein there for some physicality and muscle. And then Quacha as the kind of swinger loose forward who can cover a few things. That's what I've got. I don't know.
Yeah, that I'd go the same way. I don't think there's... what do you think about Marco van Staden?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the hooker thing should factor into this at all, you know? Mm. And to, if you're thinking, well, van Staden gives you an option at hooker, that's got to get out of your mind. You don't need a third option at hooker
hopefully
on the
not,
field.
But yeah.
And if you're talking about, you know, fetching and breakdown work and work rates and defensive capabilities and carrying and all of those things, as good as he is in those departments, I just would lean more towards, you know, going with the extra kind of muscle in Jean Klein. In terms of the physicality, and then a Quacha Smith just for the versatility. Yeah. So I would, you know, Quacha's been there before. He's done it as well. He's played a lot of Bok rugby now in different positions as well. He's played eight. He's played, you know, at flank. So
that's why it's probably not a spot for Dwayne. Then, you know, we've got
unfortunately, Dion
Ferree, Oxenchair, Trevor Nyakane, John Klein and Ergis Neyman and Quacha Smith as the sixth forward reserve. That's how I would go.
Yep.
Although you could argue maybe drop John Klein and bring Dwayne Vermeulen in there, but then you don't have the extra lock. But like you said, Quacha can cover eighth man. You can
I suspect
forward, so.
they would like to get Dwayne in here. I think they'll try. You know, because
Well, then they'll have to go 7-1, maybe.
No. That's what I think 6-2, but with Dwayne in somewhere, probably for Jean Klein. I can see that happening.
That wouldn't be a bad option. You know, if there's a real emergency, then Dwayne can slot in at lock.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, 78th minutes. You know, you want big Dwayne on the field there, sorting some.
So maybe that's up for debate whether Jean Klein should be there. We've got him penciled in now, but I mean. Yeah, it's a tough choice to make.
Do you have Andre Pollard on the bench for Marnie Lebok? Because I've got Marnie Lebok on the bench for Andre Pollard. So we player 23 for both of us is the backup fly half. I've got Pollard. I've got Lebok. You've got Pollard.
Yes.
And then your substitute scrum half, just for the versatility again, I've gone Grant Williams because of what he can do elsewhere.
Mm. He can play on the wing. I mean, even center or fullback if need be. He's the most versatile of the scrum halves, so he needs to be there. I mean, you can't go 7-1 and only have one, like either a Pollard or Lebok on the bench. That would be too risky. Mm. So you've got to have at least two back reserves, and Grant Williams covers a few positions, so I would have him there alongside Andre Pollard, and obviously you'd have Monty Lebok on the bench.
Well, it's been 25 minutes of playing selector, and it's not easy. So, you know, it's been interesting watching Rassie and Jacques and Rassie's quotes in the media overnight. Actually, for the first time in the tournament, and actually in a long time, it seems like the Boks are just taking their time with the team selection. They usually do it very early in the week. And by Monday, ahead of a weekend game, they would all know who's playing. And I think in the media overnight, Rassie was saying, you know, by Wednesday, all the guys would know, which is today. But there is the feeling that they're being a bit more considered about this one. The arrival of Pollard, the arrival of I think has, you know, meant that they've had to take their time. But we'll know soon enough, as things stand, by Friday, the Box will name their team. We'll bring you all of that team news on News 24 Sport as we continue our build-up to this weekend's quarterfinal. This has been the Inside Pass. Thank you so much for joining us, and all the best. Cheers. We'll be right back.